Well, good morning, church. It is good to see all of you here this morning. Just continue to pray for Jimmy and Carla. They should be at some point today heading down to Georgia to do a pastor and pastor's wife retreat. So hopefully that will be a good experience and they'll enjoy their time down there. I'm sure while they're down there, they'll do some other stuff as well. But the Lord is good. Amen. Right? Can you say He's the same God of yesterday, today, and forever? He's the same God who redeems. He's the same God who renews. He's the same God who restores. I hope that this is what you know this morning, because it's so valuable in your life to know that God never changes. God's always been in the saving business. He's always been redeeming. He's always been restoring. He's always been doing all of those things. Proverbs 27:19 says, as in water faith reflects faith, so the heart of a man reflects the man. See, what we put into our heart, what we allow to come into our life, is what comes out. This is what we're going to be talking about this morning, that our heart, what is inside of us, God has the power to change. God has the power to renew. Even the darkest things, the things that are evil, the things that we shouldn't be, that are in our life, the things we don't want anyone else to see, God has the power to restore. God has the power to change. And many of us paint on the outside that we're all good, when in reality, we're not. Inwardly, our heart is dying. It's far from God. It's not where it's supposed to be. A heart full of deception, selfishness, pride. But listen to me, church, I'll say it again. Even that kind of heart, God can redeem. Even that kind of heart, God can renew. God can restore. So the question this morning is, do you need to be renewed? Do you need a heart that is renewed? Only a heart that God can give. 2 Samuel chapter 11 is where we're going to be this morning. We do have a lot of verses to look over. It's a very, very crazy story that we're going to be reading, but we've been talking about renewal and how God renews our life in many ways, many different ways, and that He has taken us from death to life when we invite Him into our life. And last week we talked about how God not only renews our life, but God renews our mind. God renews the way we think. God renews our expectations, and God renews what we believe, the things that we believe. What we didn't believe, and He puts truth into our life. And this morning we're going to see a king who does evil. A king who people thought would never do a wrong thing, commit evil, who has a bad heart, and how God restores it. 2 Samuel chapter 11, starting in verse 5, it says, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to get her. She came in, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, I am pregnant. Here we find out that David has not started out very well. See, kings were not supposed to stay home from war. See, he didn't even start out well. He was supposed to be at war with his soldiers. He was supposed to be with his men, but he decided to stay back. He was not where he was supposed to be. And many times we find ourselves not where we're supposed to be. And guess what happens? Bad things happen. When we're not where we're supposed to be, good things don't happen. Bad things happen. And you can see the progression of David's sin here. First, he was not where he was supposed to be. Then he sees Bathsheba on the roof. He liked what he saw, so he sent someone to get her, and then he slept with her. And all of this seems to happen so quickly, right? It doesn't seem like he's even thinking about it. He sees and he wants, so he takes. And it happens very quickly. And sin spirals one another after another, and when temptation is unchecked, it leads to sin. When temptation in our life is unchecked, it leads to sin. James 1:14-15 says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. And after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Do you know that, church? That sin in our life leads to death. Temptation, when it's unchecked, leads to sin, and then that sin leads to death. Can we at least say, praise the Lord, God forgives sins? Can we say, praise the Lord, God redeems even sinners? Because we all are sinners. We all do the same things that we see David here, full of just sin and evil. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He saw Bathsheba. It was pleasing to him. So he took her when he wasn't supposed to. And some might try to blame his environment. Well, if Bathsheba wasn't on the roof, then he wouldn't have committed the sin. Well, church, that's wrong. That's wrong. And sometimes we think the same way. Well, if this didn't happen in my life, then I wouldn't have committed that sin. If this didn't go this way or that way, I wouldn't have committed that sin. But that's wrong, church. David here is led away by his own evil desires. David is led away because of his heart. His heart wasn't right. His heart was bent towards evil. Why do we need our hearts to be renewed this morning? Is because, listen to me, church, we so easily fall away. Our heart so easily falls away. I don't think David woke up and said, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to commit adultery. God anointed me to be king. I had God's spirit within me. You know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to commit adultery. But when the heart is unchecked, it leads to things we never wanted to do. Have you ever been there in your life where you do things you never wanted to do? Because our heart was unchecked. And then now, if adultery wasn't enough, we find out that Bathsheba's pregnant. Can I tell you, you're not going to be able to hide that for very long. You're not going to be able to mislead people very long. And we will continue to find out about the condition of David's heart and that it will produce serious consequences. And do you know that the condition of your heart has very, very severe consequences when it's left unchecked, when it's not where it's supposed to be? So what does David do about this news? Well, verse 6 says, so David sent word to Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance of the palace with his master's servants and did not go down to his house. David was told Uriah did not go home. So he asked Uriah, haven't you just come from a military campaign? Why didn't you go home? Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my commander Joab and my Lord's people are camped in the open country. How could I go to my house to eat and drink and make love to my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing. When David said to him, stay here one more day and tomorrow I will send you back. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. At David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat among the master servants. He did not go home. What is happening here is we already begin to see what a mess this has become, right? This sin is starting to get messy. The heart is starting to get messy. If an adultery wasn't enough, now David finds himself lying to the man God has entrusted to him. So what's David doing here? David is trying to get Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, to go home and sleep with his wife as fast as possible. So there will be no people thinking that she had slept with somebody else, right? She's deceiving Uriah to think that, hey, that child is going to be your child, right? Not my child. Right, not someone else's. See, this is how deceptive the heart can be, church. How deceptive the heart can be. Why do we need a new heart, church? It's because our heart is filled with lies and deception. Right, if we're honest, that's what the heart is filled with. With lie after lie and after lie in order to cover up our sins. And if we're honest, how many lies have we really told in order to cover up something we did that we knew we weren't supposed to do? We've all been there at points in our life. Right, we don't want to get found out. We don't want to get caught, so we lie. I'm going to be honest, I did that to a lot to my mom. When I did something I wasn't supposed to, I lied and I lied and I lied in order not to get caught. But guess what? I got caught. It never ended up making any difference. Eventually, I got caught. I got caught. But see, David's heart has blinded him from the reality that God can see what he has done. Even though maybe nobody else knew that he slept with Bathsheba, God did. See, David's heart was so wicked, so away from God, far from God, that he didn't even realize the things he was doing. God could see it. And when you understand that God can see it, it tends to lead us not to walk into sin so easily. But David didn't do that. David's heart was blinded from the reality that God can see. And listen to me, church, you can't pull a fast one on God. You can't pull a fast one on God. He'll always know. He'll always see it. See, you can imagine the news when David hears that Bathsheba is pregnant. He's in panic. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to cover this up? And when the panic sets in, he's willing to do whatever it takes to cover up the sin. Doesn't matter what he does. As long as he's able to cover it up, he does it. So he tries to convince and convince and convince Uriah to sleep with his wife, to go home, but he never does. He never goes. And what makes this story even sadder, church, than it already is that it seems that Uriah is a pretty stand-up guy. Uriah is a good guy. He says, I'm not going to go home when the men of the soldiers are out fighting the war. My commander's out there. The ark of the Lord is under attack. How could I go home and eat and sleep with my wife and have pleasure and all those things? I can't do that. I can't do that. And he doesn't. He's unwilling to go while the men of God are out fighting. You know, guess what? That's where David should have been. That should have been David's heart. While the men of God are out there, I should be out there. While the soldiers are out there, I should be out there. Not in my own home. Because that's what Uriah was like. How could I go home when the men are at battle? And David tries one last thing. He gets Uriah drunk. Gets him drunk in order that he may slip up and just go home. But guess what? He doesn't. And church, this shows me two things. One, a dead heart is willing to crush even the best people. The people you never thought you were going to betray, the people that were closest to you, are sometimes the very people that we lie to, that we misuse because we don't want them to know what we've done. A dead heart is willing to crush even the best people. And two, God doesn't bless a dead heart. God doesn't bless a heart that's far from Him. Why doesn't Uriah go home? Because ultimately God didn't allow him to. God wouldn't let him go because David was going to have to face the consequences of his sin. David was going to have to face the consequences of his own heart. God doesn't bless our sin or a rebellious heart. And let's see how David doesn't solve the problem like he should. He does the absolute opposite. Verse 14, it says, in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it to Uriah. In it, he wrote, put Uriah out on the front and where the fighting is the fiercest, then withdraw from him and he will be struck down and die. So while Joab in the city is under siege, he put Uriah at a place where he knew the strongest defenders were. When the men of the city came out and fought against Joab, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite died. Joab sent David a full account of the battle. He instructed his messengers, when you have finished giving the king his account of the battle, the king's anger may flare up and he may ask you, and so on and so on. And then look at verse 26. When Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. And at the time of the mourning was over, David had brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. Here we have seen David. He's committed adultery. He's lied to one of his best men. And guess what? David does the unthinkable. The unthinkable. What did he do? He led a man to his death. To his death. Why does God need to renew our hearts? Because the heart of a man is wicked. Wicked. Mark 7:21 says, Jesus says, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, and murder. And Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? See, many of us would say, I would never do that. I wouldn't do what David did. How could David do such a thing? But let me tell you, church, David probably said the same thing. He probably said the same thing. Again, he probably didn't wake up thinking, I'm going to commit adultery. He probably didn't think up saying, I'm going to lie to one of my mighty men. He probably didn't wake up saying, no, I'm going to lead him to his death. But that's what sin does. That's what a heart that's far from God does. It does the unthinkable. It does the unimaginable. But listen to me, church. Many times the heart is not something that, boom, changes overnight. It's a slow fade. The heart is a slow fade. It's one step and one step and one step away from the Lord. You stop coming to church. You stop reading your Bible. You stop praying, and the list goes on and on and on. And then you begin to think and do things you never thought you would do. You never thought you would do. It's not something that happens overnight. It's one gradual step away from the Lord. See, what is crazy about this moment to me, church, is David doesn't seem to care. He takes Bathsheba as his wife, and he says, well, all is good, right? Maybe he's thinking, I've done the right thing, right? I married her. I've done the right thing. But what does it say at the end? But the thing David had done displeased the Lord, right? I think the writer here is being a little too gracious. What David did absolutely angered the Lord. And that's what sin does. It angers the Lord. The Lord is displeased with us when we sin, when our heart does evil things. He's displeased with us. David doesn't seem to care. In fact, he seems to rationalize all of it in his head. Rationalize it all in his head. And this is what we do when our heart's not right. We begin to rationalize the things we are doing. We downplay the sins we commit. It's not that big of a deal. Right? The thing I did, it's really not that big of a deal. You know, I did it because of this reason or that reason. The Lord would understand. But listen to me when I say this, is that there's nothing rational about a heart that's not right. There's nothing rational about a heart that is not right, that is far from God. And see, many of us have hearts that aren't right. We have a heart of bitterness. We have a heart of anger. We have a heart of unforgiveness. We have a heart of pride, a heart of selfishness. We have a heart that has no desire to worship. We have a heart that has no desire to be around God's people, a heart that has no desire to pray or read God's word. And listen to me, church, that's a problem. That's a problem. If your heart is like that this morning, that's a problem. Not to be swept under the rug, not to be forgot about or say that's not a big idea, a big deal, or to rationalize. That's a serious problem. It's a problem when our heart is not right. It's a problem when we do things that we're not supposed to do. It's a problem that needs to be dealt with. Because the longer you wait, the further you drift. The longer you wait to get your heart right with God, the further away you drift from Him. And the more that you're willing to do, the more you're willing to do, and the further you drift, the further you are unrecognizable. You don't look like you anymore. You're not the same Christian as you used to be. See, this is not the same David that was anointed to be king at a young age. So it's not the same David who played the lyre to King Saul to ease his torment. That's not the same. It's not the same David who struck down the giant. It's not the same David. It's not the same David who spared Saul's life. And this is what happens when our heart goes unchecked. We're different. We no longer look the same. This is a different David. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not the same Christian you used to be. You're not who you used to have joy. You used to care about coming to church. You used to care about serving. You used to care about reading your Bible. You used to care about being with God's people, with fellowship. You used to care about those things. But the heart has drifted so far away that you don't really care anymore. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe that's you this morning. So the question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to allow a dead heart to be dead? Or are you going to allow the God who can change it to do something about it? See, what we're going to find out is that God loves David. Even in spite of everything that he has just done, and in spite of that he committed adultery, and that he lied to his mighty men, and that he had one of his mighty men killed, God still loved David. That doesn't make sense to me, church. And it doesn't make sense that God would love me in spite of all the evil that I've done and in spite of all the bad things I've done. Yet God still loves me not to leave my heart where it's at. And it's the same thing for you, church. Listen to me closely. God loves you too much to leave your heart where it's at. He loves you too much for that. He loves you too much for that. Chapter 12, verse 1, it says, the Lord sent Nathan to David. And when he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. And the rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle. But the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He had raised it and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now the traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. And this is what the Lord God of Israel says. I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you, your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all of Israel and Judah. And if all of this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and you took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore the sword will never depart from your house because you've despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says, out of your own household I'm going to bring calamity on you. Before your very eyes I will take your wives and give them to one of those close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all of Israel." Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan replied, The Lord has taken away your sin. You're not going to die." Here we see that God calls him out. God calls him out. God calls him out for the evil, and I find this part to be crazy because David is presented with this story. What is this story? Well, in simple, is that there's this rich man who took a man's lamb, a poor man's lamb. The rich man had all the lambs he could possibly have, but he took the poor man's lamb. Killed it. Not even just the lamb, it was the family lamb. Many Israelites had pet sheep. He took that sheep, out of all the other sheep, and had it killed. Had it killed to feed the traveler. David hears this story, and guess what? He is furious. He is outraged. He is so angry. And guess what? He tells Nathan, "That man deserves to die. That man deserves to die," right? He had all the indignation to say, "That man." He had all the, he wanted justice to be served. All to find out that the rich man in the story was him. It was him. Now imagine that for a moment. You spent the whole time justifying your sin. You spent the whole time rationalizing what you're doing, all to find out that you're the man. You're the man in this story that has sinned against God. Sinned against God. Now David seems to have a change of heart. Right? He's no longer rationalizing his sin. He's saying, "Lord, I have sinned against you." It's like a light bulb comes on his head. He's like, "Oh wait, I have done evil. I've messed up. I've sinned greatly. In fact, I deserve death. I've condemned myself. I deserve death." And listen to me, church. I'll say it again. We deserve death. For the evil that we've committed. For the sins we've committed. For sin leads to death. And we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all done things that we shouldn't have done. We've all sinned against a holy God. And we deserve death. But God gives us grace. And this is what he's doing here with David. He's giving David grace, and it doesn't wipe the consequences away, the damage that's already been done. But yet the Lord still offers grace. That's amazing. That's amazing. He's no longer justifying his sin. Rather, he's acknowledged that he's sinned against God. So how does God renew our hearts? As he reveals that it is far from him. That's how it starts. A renewed heart starts with the realization that God is prodding you and poking you, saying that you're far from me. You've sinned against me. You're far. Your heart is far from me. And the only way to receive a renewed heart from the Lord is to confess that I've sinned. It's to say, "Lord, I've sinned. I've done something I'm not supposed to do. I've done evil. I've done things that are nasty." It's saying, "I'm not good. I've done wrong." Confession is the first step to a renewed heart. And see, conviction from the Lord is one of the most valuable things in our life. Conviction from the Lord is one of the most valuable things in our life because conviction leads to correction. Conviction leads to correction. Without conviction, there's no correction. So stop running from conviction. Stop hiding from it. For God is trying to lead you to a renewed heart. God is trying to lead you to a refreshed heart, a brand new one. One that's not evil. One that doesn't do evil things. That's where God is trying to convict you to. So confess to the Lord, because listen to me, church. He is the only one who can restore it. You can't cover up your sin. You can't hide your sin, for God sees it. You can't. He sees all of it. Confess it to the Lord. Do not wait. Confess it to the Lord. For He's the only one who can restore and renew our hearts. And maybe you're asking, well, what does it look like? What does a renewed heart look like? What does it look like? Turn with me to Psalms 51. Psalms 51 is an amazing psalm because it's written after David has done all of these things. He's committed adultery, he's lied, he's deceived, and he led Uriah to his death. And David writes this psalm, Psalms 51. It says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, and you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. And let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Here David is crying out in a desperate plea for mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Wash me whiter than snow. Because listen to me, David understands that it is only God who can forgive sins. It is only God who can create in him a new heart, a pure heart. It is only God that can do these things. David's heart is broken for the sins he has committed before the Lord. Someone with a renewed heart breaks for the sins they commit. Is your heart broken for the things you've done? Is your heart broken for the sin you've committed? I pray it is. Because our heart should break. It should break. It should break. And one whose heart breaks for sins, they cry out to God for forgiveness. They cry out to God for mercy because they know that only He can do it. They know that He is the only one that can redeem. He's the only one that can do it. And that's the same for us. We do not deserve God's renewal. David is longing for God's forgiveness and mercy, even though he knows he doesn't deserve it. This is why he says, "Lord, your verdict is right. Your judgment is right. But Lord, please have mercy on me. Please show me grace. Please show me forgiveness." He's asking all of those things. All of those things. In church, we do not deserve God's renewal, but yet God does it. God's renewal, He shows His forgiveness, He shows His mercy, because we serve the God whose love is unfailing, who's great in compassion. I love that's what He says here in verse 1. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions." Lord, church, you serve a God who's abounding in love, who's abounding in compassion. Why would we wait to get our heart right with a God who's like that? So how do we start the process of a renewed heart? Is we have to admit we need a new one. I don't want my old one anymore. That's dead. I want a new one, a live one. Look at verse 10 again. It says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." David is saying, I want a new heart. I don't want the same one that commits adultery. I don't want the same one that lies and deceives. I don't want the same one that commits murder. I don't want that heart no more. I want a new one. I want a pure one. God wants to give you a new heart, but you have to want it. God wants to give you a new heart, but you've got to want it. And when we allow God to create in us a new heart, God restores our joy. God restores our gladness. This is what David is saying. He said, restore my joy, restore my gladness. Restore the joy of my salvation. These are the things he's saying. This is what happens when God begins to renew our heart. We begin to feel again. Feel the things that we used to feel. And he breaks our heart for what God's heart breaks for. What does God's heart break for? It breaks for sin. It breaks for unbelief. It breaks for when people reject him. Jesus, after the triumphal entry, goes into Jerusalem, and guess what? He weeps. Why? Because the people rejected him. You know, God's heart weeps when people refuse a new heart. When people refuse salvation, when they reject him, God's heart breaks. He weeps. It breaks his heart. Why? Because he wants you to come to him. He wants you to have a new heart. He wants you to be right with him, because there's no better place than being right with the living God. And when God puts his hands on our heart, it leads to compassion, it leads to love, it leads to mercy, it leads to forgiveness and kindness and gladness. See, David desperately cried out to God, the God of mercy, and that is where some of us should be this morning. That's where some of us should be this morning. Our hearts should break. That are far from the Lord, who have been far for too long. We need to deal with them. With God. The God who can renew them. See, we might say David doesn't deserve it. After all David has done, David doesn't deserve God's mercy. And guess what? We don't either. But God is faithful. He's rich in mercy, he's rich in grace, and he's offered renewed hearts to anyone who asks for it. I don't think we understand that, church. If God has offered David a new heart for all that he's done, do you not think he could do it to you too? Do you not think he could do it for you as well? He absolutely could. Is your heart broken this morning? Call out to the one who can renew and restore it. Call out to the one who can renew and restore it. Verse 13, let's finish this up. It says, then I will teach transgressors your way, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from guilt or bloodshed, O God, for you who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. God will not despise. God doesn't forsake the one whose heart is broken. God does not forsake the one whose heart is broken. God doesn't want your money. God doesn't want your stuff. God doesn't want any of your stuff, any of your things, your time, what you can give him. You don't want any of that. God simply wants your heart. He simply wants your heart. He wants your faithfulness. He wants your loyalty to him. See, this is David's plea to God. Lord, save me. Renew my heart and I will praise you in front of the world. I will testify of your great works. I will testify that you are the God, the Savior of the world. That's what he's telling the Lord. He's pleading out. He's making a plea to the Lord. I'll praise you to the world. Just save me. Show me mercy, show me forgiveness, and I will not help but be able to sing your praises. When God renews our heart, we shouldn't be able to keep it in. If your heart is renewed this morning, you shouldn't be able to keep it in, because it didn't deserve to be renewed, yet God did it. That's a testimony. And I pray that you are here. And that God is renewing your heart, and that your purpose is to praise him and to tell the world of what he's done for you. I pray that's where your heart is this morning. See, a renewed heart worships and testifies of God's great works. The question is, are you? Are you? Has your heart been renewed? Is God continuing to renew your heart? And if he is, are you worshiping him and are you testifying about him? Are you worshiping and testifying about what he's done? If you're not, you might need a renewed heart. If you're not praising him, you're not worshiping him, you're not testifying about what he's done, you might need a renewed heart. But praise the Lord, He gives a renewed heart to anyone who asks. See, this story is a reminder to me that even the greatest can fall. Even the greatest can fall. We would say, David, he was the greatest. Out of all the kings of Israel's, I don't think there would be question to say that David was the greatest. But yet this is the same guy who did all this. Even the greatest can fall. Never think you've got it all figured out. I'm solid. No temptation's going to take me down. Because that type of attitude are the same type that fall with a great crash. That fall even the hardest. And many of us who have thought we've had it all together are sometimes the most stubborn to return to the Lord. Right? Because if you think in your mind that, hey, nothing's gonna knock me down, and then you're on the ground, you're not gonna admit that. You're not gonna admit that your heart is not where it's supposed to be. That's stubbornness. Those that think they have it all together are sometimes the least likely to return to the Lord, to cry out to the Lord, Lord, give me a new heart. So how does God renew our heart? Well, number one, He exposes our dead one. He shows us the dead one that we have. Number two is He convicts us. He convicts us. Stop doing these things. Start doing these things. Go here or there. And number three, God restores it. And then four, God renews it. He begins to renew it, and you begin to think and do things like you know you're supposed to. Rejoicing, peace, comfort. You know that's impossible to do with a dead heart. It's impossible to do with a dead heart. And maybe you're here and you don't like your heart. I get it. I've been there before in my life. And you say, I don't like where it is. I don't like what's coming out of it. I don't like what's going into it. I don't like it. You don't forgive like you should anymore. You're bitter. You're angry. Ask God for a new one. Ask God to restore it. Ask God for a new one. And let me encourage you. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful, church. God is faithful to take a heart and restore it. There's no one that can do that. Only He can do it. And the promise is that He'll do it. That He'll actually renew it and He'll actually restore it. So confess your sins before the Lord. Confess the Lord. Lord, I don't like where my heart is. And He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's all of your sins, church. That's David's plea. He says, wash me whiter than snow. Do you know He can do it? Do you know He can do it? God is faithful. So I'll ask the question again. Does your heart need to be renewed this morning? Let's pray. Lord, as we take this moment to just think and ask You, ask the Spirit this morning, Lord, does my heart need to be renewed? Lord, examine my heart and see if there's any wicked way in it. And Lord, lead me to You. Lord, do what only You can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.